Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. You know, I love the Word of God and how I love God shows us in His Word what our life is like with Him and without Him. Life as a prophet of God certainly can be a walk of true faith. And in the case of Hosea, he was called to marry an adulterous woman as a physical picture to the people of Israel that they were in the act of being an adulterous family member of God. And our actions many times have consequences, and in this case, God clearly stated what the consequences would be for their adulterous affair with the world in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And it's pretty graphic. I will strip her naked. I will make her like a desert, parched, slain with thirst. I will not show my love to her children. And it goes on. And it reminds me of the passage in John 12, 23, 26, where Jesus tells his disciples that the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And it's so hard to be in this world and not of this world. And it's a very tenuous line we walk as believers of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that we serve a righteous and gracious God who loves us with all his heart. And he loves us so very much that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, up for us that we might have relationship with him again. And once again, I have the honor and privilege to have Dr. John Swanson, founder of Endurance Ministries, joining me in studio today. And his ministry addresses current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological end times data in God's Word. And when he's in the Pacific Northwest, he has an open microphone with us. So welcome back to the studio, John.
Thank you, Leslie.
Now, I opened this morning with Hosea as I asked you to speak to the heart of God as it relates to us and our daily walk of faith. And John, our ministries do go hand in hand as we both believe we are called to endure in our faith until that final trumpet call and sharing the whole truth and nothing but the truth as given by God in His Word. So I chose Hosea today because when I received your monthly newsletter, it included an insert from a DVD called Amazing Love, The Story of Hosea, which caused me to go read the book of Hosea. And I want to know why this message is so important to you and us as believers of Jesus Christ right now.
The precious aspect of God's Word is timely not only to the setting of the audience at the time of writing, but through history. That's one of the beautiful elements of God's Word. And we find in some of these passages, these stories, many applications to us today in our walk in Christ under the new covenant. And we also find a corrective nature tied to the 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 aspect of ongoing walk with our Lord. Part of that includes, Leslie, the addressing of imbalances, trying to keep us balanced, because sometimes we can take and run with a theme from God's Word, and then if we go too far, we find ourselves imbalanced in light of the full counsel of God's Word. So I'm especially concerned as I hear from different ministries, different proclamations, and I see in action attitudes on the part of Christians that, in part, for example, bring about a response from a college student who says, I don't want anything to do with you Christians because of your hypocrisy. You say you're saved and then you could live as you wish in sometimes gross atrocities. We have a concern there. So I'm asking the listening audience to go back to the Word of God and balance it in light of some of our current cultural Christian messages that aren't actually balanced. And I think it's important to note that in the book of Hosea, we find the message brought to the whole of Israel and Judah, but it's also tied to a message to the individuals. So while the first covenant is ongoing until the new covenant, God is faithful and continues to express that faithfulness until the eternal state. So too is he faithful in the new covenant context, but faithful to what? So when I have a student who, as you saw in the prayer letter, saying that, well, I've put God on the shelf because he's not measuring up to my expectations, thinking, though, that he's safe in that setting, that concerns me because there's imbalance there.
Well, you know, and I think about what you just said. It's like a pendulum, and we're supposed to keep that pendulum in the center point, but instead we either take it too far left or we take it too far right, and when we bring it and try and bring it back to the norm, to the center, we have a tendency to cross over the line and we go the opposite direction again.
Sometimes. Well, within the parameter of God's word, sometimes, well, he allows us that. There's definitely on the table that we can't go off of the balance, and sometimes he causes us to emphasize one aspect of the table, so to speak, in addressing maybe an abuse on the other side.
Exactly.
That's not too far. But I guess I'd like to emphasize my dear friend, my student, who in the context of the new covenant church, you know, Jesus, our Lord, says the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen.
The church will enjoy the ultimate marriage to the bridegroom as the bride of Christ. But I'm also speaking to individuals within those covenant aspects, both old in the case of Hosea, but also the new covenant. And this is where I think the body of Christ would be blessed, be helped, if we understand that there's an individual walk with God that we're accountable for, but there's also those universal promises that apply to the whole church.
So let's talk about some of those imbalances that that you're seeing, we're seeing in our contemporary culture right now. And what about God's grace, and have we taken it too far?
Let me apply it again to the thing that's dear in my heart of late, and that is the church. God's faithful to his church, and all the things promised will be given. But what about individuals along the way? See, God's covenant people enjoyed God's faithful promises, and he saw them to fruition. But the individuals along the way, sometimes they fell by the wayside. Those who left Egypt, they didn't get into the promised land, those promises. Individuals throughout, in the case of apostate Israel, who served idols, Baal, etc., they were not blessed of God. They were actually cursed by God. So in the context of the old covenant was still true, but those within the new covenant, the tribe of Israel, were not faithful, and they didn't enjoy those blessings. So too does the church face the same. God's true to his church, but the individuals, when we go wayward, we need to understand that we're departing from an important balance, that is, enjoying God's grace, but also walking with a holy God. So that's a part of the aspect of contemporary culture, some of the imbalances that are actually dangerous.
Can you give a couple examples that you've seen or heard of lately?
Yes. Yes, I can. Let me use it in the context of current campus situation. It's a contrast, if I could, where one student with whom I worked is continuing to serve the Lord and doing it joyfully. Sure, frustrated at some of the encounters that he has as he is Christ's ambassador in his ministry settings, but still looking to the Lord day by day, as opposed to another student who feels like God has not met his expectations, so he's putting God on the shelf, on the sideline. And while not an anti-theist or an atheist, my student friend is just saying, I'm not going to pursue my walk with the Lord. There's a concern there because of this student's background theologically. He's riding on grace, but in light of other passages, he's in a dangerous position. He's in an unhealthy, imbalanced state. Another couple, this is moving from two guys to two gals. Same kind of thing, where this one gal, the University of Idaho in Moscow, loves the Lord, is serving the Lord, is kind of overextended in her ministry, so she's trying to realize, sometimes I need to say no.
Sometimes I need to say no.
That's appropriate. But there's another one who, when I asked her, how's your walk with Christ going? She said, well, when Someone asked me that of late. I've just said, well, it's a duty-drivenness of reading your Bible, praying, and going to church and all this. And that was an interesting response, because that's a yellow light to me, because those are aspects of walking Christ. You can look at it as a duty-drivenness, that's an imbalance, or you can look at it, that's the part of God's extending grace to us as we continue to walk in Christ. And I guess that's a part of the aspect of imbalance that I'd like to address, this issue of grace. Does it stop at salvation? At the moment we enjoy new birth in Christ, the John 3:16 moment? No, the ongoing grace is seen extended even in 1 Corinthians 15. We find after Paul defines the gospel, by the way, there's a conditional statement there. That's quite interesting in those first couple verses. But anyway, after he defines the gospel, he then talks about the grace of God. Can I read this part of the
Absolutely.
Passage? This is verse 9 out of 1 Corinthians 15. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace toward me, it was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The emphasis of God's grace, Paul is stating that his actions were driven by God's grace. I have churches and individuals who think that the grace is mainly expressed at the cross and one's reception of the work of Christ on our behalf. Imputed righteousness, then we can go on and continue living. No, the grace of God is definitely seen there, but it continues on as we walk in Christ. There are aspects of the Old Covenant people, Israel, that are being expressed today, where there's sin, there's lying, there's cheating, there's adultery, these are listed in the book. And yet we have some Christians by name who are doing the same thing, and they say, well, I'm covered. I'm covered because of my imputed righteousness in Christ, and I can live on. Well, that's a faulty view of justification.
Well, see, and I run into this when I'm counseling with people who are have lost or are in the process of losing a loved one. Mm-hmm. And, my father, I know he's saved, but yet they have not walked a life of God with Christ through their life. They've never heard them profess their faith, but they so desperately want to hold on to that. And it's very hard to talk with them. It's an imbalance there of understanding that once you've accepted Jesus Christ, that we are called to our faith, but also our actions. Faith is an action word, and so it means we have to use action. But it also can cross a line into a works salvation perspective. Right. So I know that in Titus 3, it reads, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. But then you have to turn around and read James, and you taught me this one, James 2:14-24. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? And it ends with this. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Would you speak to that, please, the imbalance?
See, are we to define balance in light of the full counsel of the Word of God, or are we defining balance in light of the theological opinion? American Christianity, denominational perspective, what have you. That is huge, Leslie, because the plumb line has got to be the Word of God. So when we find passages like James, in other passages that talk about justification by works, we need to embrace the full counsel of the Word of God and say yes to that, lest if we don't, we'll throw away some important aspects of the reverence and fear of God in our walk. And the New Testament is loaded with the fear of God and the wisdom therein.
Absolutely.
If we throw that away and we ride on grace, then we become those potentially who are abusing grace. So we don't want to put our theological traditions as trump over the Word of God. That was a problem with religious leaders in Jesus' day, and Jesus dealt with them strongly in Matthew 15. But Jesus himself even says that aspects of justification are tied to our actions. In this case, in Matthew chapter 12, he says that our justification in part is tied to our words. Do you want me to read that?
Please.
And see, this also is, interestingly enough, found in the context of the importance of life in Christ. Now see, when we're saying justification by works, please understand, we're not talking about a works heresy. We're talking about once we're in Christ, then we abide in Christ, John 15. We walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5. And it's God who is at work in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God is working in us. And that's exactly the picture that we find in Scripture. But this is what Jesus says. You will know a person, if they're true or not, by their fruit. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, listen to this, Leslie, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, just like James is definitely talking about justification before God, that's the context of James chapter 2. We find our Lord Jesus saying the same, similar thing. Justification tied to our actions, as long as we understand we're talking about those who are already newborn in Christ. So it's not the works of the flesh that are bringing justification before God. It's the life in Christ that shows our faith. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Read all those examples of those who are famous modelers of faith. They model their faith through their actions. You can't get away from it, Leslie.
You know, I constantly remind myself and others that it's not about me. It's about God working through you to touch other lives for his kingdom.
That's so important. You know why? Because that's talking about who it is that is actually doing these things. Then shall we boast? No, Scripture talks about that. But in Christ we can say, God has radically, well, he's given me new birth.
And I can do all things through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right. So there's no boasting, well, there shouldn't be boasting
there
in
shouldn't.
A true believer, because it's God who is at work in us. But that's where we have an opportunity to give credit to whom credit is due. God is the one. So we're saying, not my works, just like Daniel did when he said to the king Nebuchadnezzar in the early chapters of the book, it's not because I have all this insight that I can interpret your dream. We're talking about Daniel 2.
Of course.
But it's because the God of heaven has graciously made it known to you, O King, through me. Same kind of thing in the context of the New Covenant. God is at work, so he gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. We can't boast. And that's appropriate, because then we're pointing people to that one who actually could make a difference in their lives if they would say yes to the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, I shared earlier that our ministries do go hand in hand, and I know that you wish to share the heart of the Savior, not only with all of those you come in contact with, but our audience, and bring them hope. And so I want to know where that leaves us today, John, because Hosea, of course, when you start out and it's saying, you know, I will strip you naked, I will not love your children, Where does that lead us?
It brings us back to the Word, Leslie, because we have these messages, sometimes from the pulpit, sometimes from the radio stations, what have you, that are in light of the full counsel of the Word of God, there's imbalance. So we go there and we say, whoa, this has been manifest at the very beginning pages where, hey, if you're obedient, blessings. We're talking about Deuteronomy. If you're disobedient, cursings. We have that manifest through the age of the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, but we also have that manifest in the New Covenant in Christ, where it talks about the importance of walking in Christ. Again, not a human deeds-drivenness. It's God at work in you. So we have a precious message to bring that we don't just ride on our salvation, abuse grace to the extent where we get into such imbalance that we start embracing some of the compromises of Israel. And you remember what happened to Israel. They were wiped out by the Assyrians. And even though we have a state of Israel, it's not the acknowledged state of the Old Covenant. But we are called to walk in obedience too. So that song, Trust and Obey.
Oh, yes.
It's an important one because trusting in the context of new birth then causes us, if we're honoring the full counsel of God's Word, to then walk in obedience, but under the Spirit's empowerment, not our own. Precious. It's beautiful. That's part of the abundant life in Christ. So it's beautiful. It's precious. It's in a God-honoring way, it's glorious. But again, the Lord is the one getting the credit.
You know, it's really easy to fall into the half-truth mm-hmm. of the enemy. And in this world that we are in, we are called to be in this world, but not of this world. And once you start that downward slope, it just spirals and it goes faster and faster and faster. But there is a way out, and it's Jesus Christ. And you stop and you call on his name to stop the spiral and bring back into you the balance of your heart with him. It's a very dangerous thing. And I've watched many, many people recently who, with regard to grace, mm-hmm. say, well, I can do that because I'm forgiven. All my sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. True, this is the Word of God. But is this what you're called to? Is this truly grace if you're testing God? If you're going, knowing that you're going against his Word? Should be a red flag, big red flag.
Big red flag.
Alarm, warning, warning, Will Robinson. That shows my age.
Yeah, well, there's another expression of abuse of grace where, and this just happened in our Bible study, our men's Bible study this last week, where the guy said, I don't sin anymore. He says, I grieve the Spirit, but I don't sin. Well, his context is an imbalanced perspective of abuse of grace where you don't have to do the 1 John 1:9. And you know, my response to his comment was, and I just said, you know, I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9 because the context there is not only those who have sinned, but ongoing sin. And we are called to, maintain an attitude of humility and that includes confession and repentance too. The church needs to do that in better balance of God's counsel.
Amen.
So I know we're running
amen.
Out of time, but
well, you know, it's an absolute delight, John, and an honor to hear from you again and always to have you here because you do challenge us and you cause us to confront those false doctrines but bring the true living Word of God to the world. So to our guest John Swanson of Endurance Ministries and our listening audience, we hope that you all go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father. And we pray that you will be encouraged through God's Word and that you will make it be the very breath that you breathe every day. So as always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson of Heart of the Savior Ministries and my dear friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.